So how is everyone doing? I must, before I start, sincerely congratulate you. I saw you, I think, briefly yesterday morning. And then I saw you yesterday evening, and there was a significant and remarkable difference. What I could see is you had been able to enter a little bit more into Vrindavan, and it showed in your faces and you being more relaxed. You should have seen some of you yesterday morning sitting on the edge of wherever they were sitting. And yes, you did very well, and the cultural difference between where you come from and what you see here in Vrindavan has not impaired you to enter the spiritual experience that is available here. So my sincere congratulations. I have seen groups where it takes like 3,000 light years before the shell breaks that protects, so to say, there doesn't protect, but which they have built up around themselves. We will go to this morning a little deeper. I think we all have to pray for our Radhika Ranjan. He has a stomach thing. I hope it doesn't put him into the grave. I'm saying joyfully. Not in the way you laugh. I'm saying with humor, I wanted to say, with humor. Good, so we will just sing a song. Do we all know Jaya Radha Madhava, or do we have it in our accompanying? Good. So we will sing Jaya Radha Madhava briefly, and then we will enter into the subject.
It's in the prayer books. If you have it with you, the little prayer book, you can find it there. Send it on WhatsApp.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Jai Jai Radha Madhava Gunya Bihari Yasoda Nandana da 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 da
da da da da da da da da da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da
Jamunatira Vanachari Jamunatira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Today I will talk a little bit about ways and paths to understand the Supreme Being, or as we would say, the ecstatic God of love, Krishna. I must say before I give you a philosophy and philosophical analysis or approach, how I personally relate to this subject. I think it was in my blood from very early on, before my mother left the body, she said, I must tell you something. When we asked you why you always climbed the highest trees, although it was so dangerous and you sometimes fell, you gave an answer that made us think. You said, as a little child of perhaps, I don't know when children climb trees, 5 or 6, 7. You said, I want to be as close as possible to God, as close to God as possible. And then she started to cry, but even when you were very small, a baby, and I would throw you like mothers do in the air and then catch you. I don't know, this is done in other cultures also. You would always scream, higher, higher, higher. And I knew one day you would fly so high that you would not return. I knew it instinctively. You would fly away. My little angel. This is how the mother addressed me. It says in the scriptures that this interest in God, the interest which you pursue with determination, that is often something that you take with you from a previous life in this life. And that might explain why you all who have this interest, I suppose, and which led you to this pilgrimage, are perhaps a little different than other people around you. Something that may not always be easy, at least not for young people who want to fit in and be with their peers and all. At least when I had become a monk and I had developed by my spiritual practice, it's not something you develop, certain gifts were given to me, which is often happening to spiritual petitioners. I remember one time looking into my past life, and there I could see that I was already on the spiritual path. Then I was a Christian monk who didn't fit really into the church, because in the cellar we did our Buddhistic practices and other practices, which was not without danger at that time. Yes, so you are lucky people, you are fortunate people, because you have this gift of this interest. And don't feel strange when the whole world around you is not like this. But find your own path. I wanted to talk about that, but after discussing with others, we all thought it's perhaps better I talk about this great subject, the Supreme Being, Bhagavan, the Lord, the Divine, and so on. You must know from the tradition which you are entering here in Vrindavan, God is not one thing. He is at least three things and many, many more. But it first starts, God realization, with the understanding of his omnipresent being, his omnipotent being, his omniscient being. But to be more specific, his being the basis of everything that is, the one basis. All differences are in this understanding only like the waves, which are different, but there's one ocean, no? So this underlying oneness, this Brahman, is immanent, it is here in this world, but it is also beyond this world, and there it is uncovered, Brahman. Here it is covered, Brahman. It is sometimes talked about as the white light, as the mass of energy, and people who follow this, who want to attain Brahman, hope to one day enter that uncovered spiritual reality. And because they're tired of being individuals, they are aspiring to just merge in it, like a drop of water would merge into an ocean. A lot of spiritual experiences are about this Brahman, and you, and also the experiences which monks in my tradition make, who are not worshipping the Brahman but who worship Krishna, are light-filled experiences where you, where the ego doesn't stand any longer in the way, and so on. But there's something more in Krishna, and you will soon see this. Do you know about the Brahman? Have you? Do you know what I'm talking about? The underlying oneness, I think, in street spirituality. You mean that? I mean with this, what you hear everywhere in the internet and so on. That is the most well-known concept of God, which is here and which is there in this world. Our tradition calls it Brahman, the Brahman, the underlying spiritual reality. Now there is another way to approach God, another way to conceive of him, And another way of interacting with him, that's the Lord in the heart, the super soul it's sometimes called. There's Atman, the soul, and the supreme soul, the super soul. It's that aspect of God which I think everyone in the room and their neighbor will at times have contacted. It's that source of knowledge. Do you not sometimes all know that something comes from inside the heart, a voice that never errs, that doesn't make a mistake, that is beyond what you the mental narrative that says to you, turn around now, and you do it, and you just can step out of the way of an elephant who just charged down the road. It's that that Paramatma is the source of intuition. He is the source also of conscience. When you say, ah, I really blew it. It was my mistake in the relationship. It was not the other mistake. And I should go now and excuse myself. No, that's the voice of conscience. I'm not an English native speaker, as you can hear. So if you don't understand one word, please tell me, what did you say? Conscience. No? That voice that distinguishes what is right from what is wrong. And I don't mean right and wrong in any moral or social definition. I just mean right and wrong without any cultural baggage or other baggage. So that Lord in the heart is spread everywhere in each one's heart. Ralph Waldo Emerson would say, we all lie on the lap of one cosmic intelligence who constantly tries to speak to us and direct us. It's the Lord in the heart. And you can hear him when you step out of the way. In prayer, the most important thing is not just what you say, but what you hear back as an answer. And that happens when in the silence, the mental silence, when you are finally out of the way. It's a wonderful state where you can actually contact the Paramatma or Super Soul within the heart. And in the Gita, there's a verse about him. Savasya charham ridi sannivishto. Since you don't, most of you don't speak fluently Sanskrit, I go directly to the English. I am situated within the heart of everyone, and from me comes knowledge. Knowledge, what else? Intuition. And forgetfulness. He also covers you. If you do not wish to act with that subtle GPS system, you know, the direct force which is there, spread in the universe, and that who moves everything, then you are covered with a blanket of forgetfulness. I should go closer. Yes. Wow. I hope I don't sound you away now. So loud. In the back we are, in the back, yes. Good. I can, thank you, Kelly. No, I can adjust this. Have you not all heard or been in contact at times with that all-knowing presence in the heart? Perhaps you had a dream which was given to you. Wow, now I see. Oh, It said that everyone who goes to bed and who is lucky to go into the dreamless state, that is a deep, 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 deep sleep, comes out of this very happy. In the morning we asked such a person, you look so happy, what happened? I slept deeply. Because what happens then is when you are in the dreamless state where your mind is no longer in the way, you are contacting or you are coming into the presence of that divinity that is residing in the heart. But because you are unconscious at that time, you are also not aware that you just were that. You just bathe yourself, so to say, in the light and in the energy of that supreme being. And finally, and this is what you will meet in Vrindavan, this concept of God. You feel, you can understand Bhagavan Krishna, who is a joyful, love-filled, ecstatic personality who invites everyone into a relationship of loving exchange. Now the interesting thing is, my dear everyone, all the three aspects, Brahman, second, Paramatma, and then Bhagavan, it's exactly the same person. Therefore, wise people do not quarrel about different spiritual realizations. They just know that, well, they contacted one aspect of my Lord. And there's one very ancient scripture, it belongs to the Shrutis, a very ancient scripture, which describes this in the realization of Krishna by the saint Narada. Narada, you must have heard perhaps about him, is a God-realized, fully realized souls who would be able to meet and discuss his questions with the Lord. For instance, one time he asked him, where can I meet you constantly? And the answer was, I'm not in the spiritual worlds constantly. I'm not even in the hearts of the mystic yogis constantly, who realize the Paramatma. I can be found wherever my devotees come together and sing my glories, like yesterday, Kirtan. There you can search him and find him. He says, Tatra Tishtami Narada. There I stand. This is so Narada, once he described his God realization in his realization of Krishna in these words, he didn't describe it, it is described about him. First he saw a mass of light approaching. Then he saw within that light like a personality so bright. And then, let me quote this directly because the old language is so nice. Then, as the almighty personality of Godhead came closer, Narada saw his full personality with various decorated limbs and a garland and so on. And so, when we speak about God, we should be knowing there are various aspects, and these are realized differently. And I personally have one hobby. It's not so pronounced any longer as it was in the beginning. I like to look at the realizations of saints from various traditions. And I could always see these three aspects. Some saw and realized the light, the white, the energy, the uncovered energy. Others related more to the Lord within the heart. And still others, they are not so frequent. They come to what at least in our tradition is seen as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything else emanates and comes, and as he was seen by Narada Muni. How do I come closer? Because yes, this is still very theoretical, but now let's go a step further. You would call this in philosophy, this was Sambandha, now we go to Abhideya. But don't worry, it will be very simple and relatable. How do I make my own God realization? I will tell you a little story about this. Once Narada Muni visited Krishna in Dwarka, and he said to him something very thought-provoking. He said, those in this separated material world, they don't know you because for them you are covered by a veil of Maya, of illusion. They can't see your beautiful features. But I see you always and everywhere. Now, in order to relate to these people who can't see you, who are covered by Maya, I need to understand, what is this Maya? Can you please show me your supreme Maya? And Narada Muni, Krishna looked at him and said, I don't think you want to see that. You know, that illusion which keeps us covered in our own little world, so that we are hankering for something and lamenting when we can't get it, that we totally are busying ourselves with our own little story that has imprisoned us, and we don't see the vastness, we don't see the spiritual reality. Only sometimes when we can sit down perhaps in a kirtan, we feel some inkling and a longing, a yearning starts in us. But so Narada Muni said, no, I need to know this for my service. Krishna smiled an enigmatic smile. 1 week later, Narada Muni had forgotten his question or that interaction. Krishna said, why don't we leave the island of Dwarka and we go to the mainland? So they took a boat and they walked. Krishna very graciously, he did not really touch the earth. He's always a little beyond. And then he said to Narada, Narada, I'm a little bit thirsty. Could you get me a glass of water? By now they had reached something that looked like a desert, a waterless place. Where do I find water here? Said Narada. Well, you go ahead for an hour or so. Then you will come to a tree, then you go to the left side, and then you see a river and a settlement and of huts, and there you asked. So Narada Muni followed the direction, and he knocked at the first door. No one was there. Second door, no one was there. Third door, the door opened, and the most beautiful of ladies opened. She seemed to be well, you know, had totally arranged her cloth. Oh, you must be the famous Narada Muni. Come in. Narada Muni said, you know, I'm a little in a hurry. I need to get a glass of water for my friend. My tongue, sit. Then the door in the back opened, and the man came out, and he said, "Ah, Narada Muni, by our foretelling about what happens in this village, you would come by, and you would marry my daughter." Wow, thought Narada Muni, that has a good turn of events, you know. He married, he had three children, he worried for the maintenance, sometimes good sailing, sometimes bad sailing. Then the monsoon started after 10 years or so, 10 years? 13 years. The river and the village was swelling. Narada Muni took his family and the few belongings into the boat and wanted to steer clear, but then a huge wave came and washed his wife away, then his daughter, then his middle son, then the smallest son. Finally another wave came and took the boat, and it capsized, thank you. And he fell into the water, and as he was drowning, he was just catching hold of something and screaming, "Oh, Krishna, save me." He opened his eyes. It was the dhoti of Krishna, the yellow dhoti. "Oh, Narada Muni," said Krishna, "what happened to you?" Everything was fine. There was no water. There was no river. There was no village. And by the way, where's my glass of water? Don't you understand, Narada Muni? You wanted to see my Maya. That was my Maya. And it happened when you forgot to bring the glass of water. Now bring me my glass of water. Narada Muni ran. What took him an hour before took him only perhaps 40 minutes. He ran left. There was a settlement of huts. He immediately went to the third hut. He knocked, and the most beautiful of ladies opened. "Oh, the famous Narada Muni and the father, yeah, the astrological foretelling. I just want a glass of water for my friend." "No, but no, just first sit. I'm happy to just get a glass of water." "Sure, yes, give me the glass of water." "Sure." So he got the glass of water. He brought it to Krishna. And Krishna looked in his eyes and said, "Do you understand now? This Maya of mine is very difficult to overcome. Very difficult to overcome. Only he who engages in the bhakti, in my bhakti, he can easily leave this world of Maya behind." And that was the mystery or the point of the glass of water. So what are the processes of bhakti which we can do? It's not about, my lecture is not about this, but because we must we want to realize God, I will mention them only briefly here. If you are interested in one of them, you have a whole team around you who knows them and who prays perhaps sometimes to do them better. It starts with meeting spiritual people, because these sadhus whom we meet, they can open a new perspective for us if we are willing to hear what they have to say. Then we start spiritual practice. We don't say we do it, we actually do it. It's between us and Krishna. It starts with chanting. You know kirtan chanting, but there is this other form, this more meditative thing. Hare Krishna, I like it so much. I could now go up to 12 o'clock in the night just chanting. I like it so much. I don't know why. This japa chanting, meditative chanting. Then it is reading the wisdom from ancient scriptures like Bhagavatam. This is not just information gathering, it's transformative. When you read these concepts, they work on you. Then it's visiting to a holy place. And finally, it's worshipping the Lord. So you do in some ways three of them. You have sadhu sangha, you have association with spiritually minded people. What else do you do? You are in a holy place, and you sing the holy name a lot, and the others you might think about. From this five, it branches out into 64. You can be very, very well engaged the whole night and day, where you engage your body, your mind, and even your senses in spiritual activities. And gradually you become fireized, and then your spiritual eyes open. And this lecture won't be a theory. It will be, I see it. Let me see before I come to my end. Yeah. Those who practice bhakti have been challenged. You always worship Krishna. Is Krishna not a little selfish? To want so much service and attention on him. And the answer is given in the Bhagavatam. It says, when someone decorates his face, the image of his face in the mirror will be automatically decorated. I now will not look at the ladies. Yesterday I made a not such a charitable comment about those who wear tattoos, so I won't do this now with ladies. Well, ladies nowadays also wear tattoos. Haven't you experience of this when you decorate your face in some ways? The image in the mirror is following suit. It is automatically decorated. So the same is with us. Because we are emanations from Krishna, we are reflections of Krishna. Whenever we worship Krishna, the benefit is felt in our own hearts, in our own consciousness, in our own life. We become also, everything becomes decorated. That's the secret of bhakti. If someone engages in a little bhakti, he's a little decorated. If someone is engaging in a lot of bhakti, he is decorated a lot. Because, yes, the Lord or God or Supreme Being about whom we speak is the origin of everything. And if you go to the origin of the tree, the root, and pour water on it, it will be distributed to all the branches, leaves, and everything. Even to the bats who hang on the tree, they will have a good grip on a fertile branch. Yeah, this is a little bit what I wanted to present to you. We have a little time for any questions that might have arisen while you listened or while you thought yourself about the subject. Yes, please.
I want to ask, when you talked about if we don't follow our intuition, we're covered with a blanket of forgetfulness.
Yes.
What is the reason for that?
When you do it the first time, covering, not following the intuition, it's not so much a problem. It will come the second time. But when you do it multiple times, it's almost like putting, I'm speaking of an old telephone, I don't know with the new, putting it down. And it's a sign for the one who calls you, this person doesn't want to receive phone calls. When you don't follow your intuition, it's the same thing saying to the Lord in the heart, I don't want to receive guidance. I do it on my own. And then why should he push himself upon you? Thank you. Beautiful question. Beautiful question. The voice of the Lord in the heart is always, hopeful. It gives you hope. And the counter voice is fearful. Oh, no. It's no. Stay. Good. Anyone else? Deva, you are the team member. we can talk outside. Deva and me, we are bound with, we know each other since many years. Yes. Is it all right if I call upon you after? When we run out of questions, no one and everyone is too shy to ask the German Swami. The Germany is not the right. Here I see one voice. Yes. What was your good name again, please?
Janavi.
Chandini. Wow. What is your good name, please?
Andhra.
We have another Andhra. Same country?
Yes.
Acha. You're known to each other?
Yes.
Yeah, a little. Yes, Andhra, please.
How does one develop a relationship with intuition? With Param Atma.
With Param Atma, yes. Do you practice yoga, if I may ask? Yes. Ashtanga, what type of yoga?
Sattva yoga.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. You will be interested that the main goal, according to Patanjali, of the yoga practice is to come in contact with Paramatma, with the super soul, the Ishvara in the heart. No, he can be met there. Mm. And your question now is, how do you contact him? I would like to answer this in an indirect, the indirect way of contact and the direct way. In the indirect way, you would remove the obstacles that are between you and that source of intuition. It's a little bit like Rumi, who says, don't look for love, look for the walls you have built against love and bring them down, then you will feel love. That's the indirect way. No? So you look for the obstacles which are in the heart. It starts with ignorance of who you really are, and it goes to the ego, asmita, then raga, attachments, then dvesha, repulsion, no, I don't want this, and then abhinivesha, total absorption in material life. No? So these obstacles, which are also known as kleshas, isn't it, are to be removed if you want to be in contact. Once again, the obstacles, ignorance of who you are, false ego that comes out of this, false identity, you look for a replacement of who you are, great attachment and also like and dislike of things, and then ending up in total absorption in material life, which there is a symptom of this. It's fear of death. You're afraid of death. For the soul, there is no birth and no death. The people who are very absorbed in material life are very and very afraid of losing it all, and death is forcing us to give everything away. This is that indirect way, but there is a direct telephone line. There is a direct way of contacting this. You address that Lord in the heart in kirtan. You sing his glories, and as you do this, you come into something at the end which I would like to describe with a self-invented word, the kirtan zone. It's where Buddhists would say the no-mind zone. You are no-mind means not that you or some accident happened to you. No, no. It means the constant chatter of the mind, or vrittis, they're called also thought waves, are becoming still like a placid, peaceful ocean. And then in that zone, so to say, in this situation, you will hear him speak to you all of a sudden, especially when you have a question. We all have questions, but we have buried them so deep that we don't know they are any longer. This is one of my favorite phrases. You will hear it many times. We have buried things so deep that we don't know it's there. Another very good way, Andra, to contact the super soul is prayer. But in that prayer, make sure that the real you speaks, not the false you. Don't pray because you think, I should pray. My father, my grandfather told me. There are amazing things, especially here in Vrindavan. Like yesterday, I know two people who came to me who said they prayed, and right in the next, within the next 10 minutes, the answers were given. But you really have to, how do I pray? Every spiritual process, chanting, which is called kirtanam or vandanam is praying, can only work when you practice mana samharana. That is, you bring your mind back from the thousands of things. It's almost like the mind is like a water reservoir that is spread out in so many rivulets, small rivers, streams. Now you just bring it back. Like Krishna says in the Gita, from wherever the mind goes to its restless nature, bring it back. I saw yesterday a lady who was praying before one of the temples, and she was just there. She was there. She had closed her eyes. She was really focused. And I could see she was standing with all of us there. But she was by herself. She had done this mana sangharanam, bringing the mind back. That creates a state of mental silence, and then you can, in that silence, you can pray very nicely. These are direct ways. I know, as for some reason, Westerners like always the indirect ways. Okay, let me bring back this, let me break this down and that down. I must work on myself and get rid. The Bhakta does not work on these things so much. He knows he can well get lost in these things. They are endless cans of worms. What he does and has to do is he's aware. Here I have a problem. And let me be aware. Let me acknowledge it. Let me not suppress that this is there. But then he takes the direct line spurta practice, like kirtan or what is often done. In the tradition, you start with some very powerful prayers spoken by enlightened souls, and then you do your own. It's a little bit like perhaps these machines, these airplanes, which don't go on their own force, on their own power, but they are pulled by a powerful aircraft up into the sky, and then at one time they click out, and then they flow on their own. Perhaps you have seen in Romania, there are these airplanes going like this. So we take the force of some of great saints, we let them pull us up, and then we fly on our own in prayer or in other spiritual things. What? Time. Oh. Time's up. What? Oh, a poem. Yes. The poet. I do know your good name again.
Hush,
yeah, that famous Hush, yeah. The first time I worked with, not worked, but we had with Hush, Hush read one poem to us, and then the next morning he said, I have two poems. So, yes, it's on the same presentation, so we heard one poem, and then we heard another poem, the second poem. Why do you have two poems? Are you so fast in your brain that you must be? No, he said, one of the poems is done by me, the other poem is done by AI. And then he asks, now comes the good part. This was only the preparation to the good part. You guys, this is how you speak in England, must now tell me which one is my poem, a human being's poem, and which one is the AI poem. And he looked at us, and I thought, oh, well, now he will test our intelligence. So I usually make mistakes when the such heavy questions come. I didn't say anything, but I in my mind made a mental note. This, I think, is a human, and this is a non-human poem. And most of us were right. We knew this was harsh, and that was the vast mind without conscience. This is artificial intelligence without conscience. Yes. So good. So Hash, are you ready?
Yes.
Is this a self-composed poem? Or good. Please rise. We want to see. Yes. So attention. The poet is now speaking.
Okay. Here we go. To understand God, we don't need to do any mental gymnastics. We just need to understand that he has three aspects. The first aspect is Brahman, the underlying oneness and reality, causing every atom in this universe to be surcharged with spirituality. Next is Paramatma, or Supersoul, the Lord in our heart. To hear its voice in a quiet space is really an art. Finally is the aspect of Krishna, or Bhagavan, the omnipotent Lord, full of beauty and charm. Now the question arises, how do we bring ourselves closer to the divine? Do I need to become a big Kirtan leader, or build a big beautiful shrine? Or maybe to get closer to God, we need to climb up a tree. Or we can just listen attentively to Maharaj. It's a lot more easy. Just as one decorates their face, it's also shown in their reflection. Similarly, Krishna is reflected in our heart when we give him our attention. The key to get closer is, of course, remembrance. That will help us achieve the transcendence. One day, I'll be busy with a family, and I might even have a daughter. But hopefully, I won't forget to give Krishna his water.
Oh. Bravo, bravo. May Harsh always bring the water. Good.